Hey, everybody, this is Scooter. If you want to help the show, you can just use our Amazon link when you do your holiday shopping. sleepwithmepodcast.com/Amazon. That's the same Amazon link, same Amazon you always use, just gives us a little percentage of what you, like a commission, same prices and everything. And that's a huge help. sleepwithmepodcast.com/Amazon. And ladies and gentlemen, start your sleep timers because it's time for Sleep With Me Podcast, the podcast that puts you to sleep. That's a new, sleep timer teaser open. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's running through your brain, whatever's got you tossing and turning, whether it's your body, your emotions, or your thoughts, or your snoring partner, or nosy neighbors, noisy neighbors, or newsy neighbors, that are watching the news, too loud. I'm going to try to take your mind off all those things. So tonight I'm going to be talking about Metastasis and Breaking Bad. But it'll take me a while to get there. And when I get there, it'll be a little bit more lulling and soothing than the show. It'll take more turns, and it'll be way slower and, less exciting than the TV shows. But I usually talk about the TV Colombian version first, Metastasis. Then I talk about the corresponding episode of Breaking Bad. Then I go back to Metastasis, and I try to, see what Spanish language words I can learn. And you'll notice my English, which I was raised speaking, is not quite up to snuff either, but that's, it's part of a process of, and it's funny, my addiction problems, seem to fit like the perfect puzzle piece to lulling, soothing you to sleep. So, we say, Jesus, you were born to do this, Scoots. As Bruce Springsteen has not said, baby, I was born to bore, B-O-R-E, not B-O-A-R. Because that would be weird and under most circumstances, unless you were a boar chef. And even then you say, well, that's a little bit, that's a little bit braggy, don't you think? You were born to boar. Or if you were a boar that gained the ability to speak, saying, baby, I was born a boar. Born to boar. If you say it without enunciation, as a boar might if they suddenly learned how to talk. They say, baby, I was born to bore. And you say, excuse me, were you born to bore? And you say, no, I was born a bore, believe it or not. And then I was this guy with this weird podcast. He used to have this obsession with large colliders like the Hadron, the ones he can't pronounce. And when I was just a baby bore. And he said, hey, I got a sled. And there's a great snow hill right by one of these colliders in Switzerland. And I dug a hole. And he goes, they're testing some neutrinos. And he said, don't you think that sounds like a good drink? Like, give me a side of neutrinos or a new health beverage. Yeah, I'll have a glass of neutrinos. Or a drink at a coffee. Give me a frappuccino with a double shot of neutrinos. And since I was a boar, I really just stared at the man because he did offer me a biscuit. So I didn't know what he was talking about. I just heard it. And then he picked me up and we got in a sled and I turned out boars, as a baby boar, I really enjoyed sledding. But the next thing I found myself, his tunnel. We went down the sled hill through a tunnel. Unfortunately, you got a couple scientists on a sled by accident, went through the collider. And I was, I did the old body swap with one of the scientists who's now a boar, but he ran away. So we don't know, we couldn't find him. And so, yeah, baby, I was born a boar. It's a fact, not born to boar. And then when they banned this guy, they banned me from Sweden too. I don't know why. I was just learning a language, so I was staying close to this scooter guy. And they threw us out of the country. And then they said they were doing it so politely. And so then Scooter said, well, geez, can't I do something nice for you guys before you throw me out? And they said, like, what? And he said, well, let me tell you a little bedtime story. And that's how I learned to speak, believe it or not. So I'm taking over the podcast from Scooter. Sound exactly like him. But maybe I was born a boar. And by the way, sorry about that tangent there. I don't know what happened. I had stepped out. And my new best friend, what were we calling you? Anyway, my best friend here was behind the mic. So I'm back. This is Scooter. And sometimes the podcast does that. It just goes off track. But the idea behind the podcast is that you can't think of two things at once. And I try to be, you know, I go on these little tangents or something happens and my, you know, I just get distracted. And I go on a little meander or, you know, I hand the podcast off to someone that sounds exactly like me but used to be a boar. And how lucky am I to have a best friend? And, you know, if we ever did a musical about it, we could say, baby, we were born to boar. And it would be true as long as, you know, the enunciation was right. And I don't know anything about musical or notes, but I think it's syllables that can be good. Baby, we were born to boar. So my friend would be saying, baby, I was born to boar. Born, you know, just making that extra born, like, you know, extra, you know, thing at the end of the born. Born, I guess he'd be saying. And I'd be saying, baby, I was born to boar. And then luckily this, you know, we lost that scientist that was turned into a baby boar. But, you know, then we did some studies. We said, oh, no, the brainstem of the boar was still boar brainstem. So it just went back to its mother. So that scientist is being raised as a boar. And that's a wonderful thing. And you know, Switzerland has some of the best boar treatment in the world. So that's a good thing. Don't worry about that. But so this is how the podcast works. You can't think of two things at once. So sometimes I'll be mildly amusing, somewhat entertaining. You know, you'll get thoughts of baby boar, non-bristled. You know, in Switzerland, they have the bristle-free boar types over there. So they're nice nice boars. And I try to keep my boars as unbristly as I can. You know, my moderately, you know, my creaky dulcets are, they have a tiny bristle bit, but, you know, that's just to fuzz up your eardrums a little. So that's the podcast. You know, the thing is I want to send my voice and my intentions across the deep, dark night and take your mind off of stuff. It's going to be a little silly, a little goofy. You might say that behavior you just described was abnormal. I would say, well, I would say abnormal. It's just over-enthusiastic about colliders and neutrinos, yes. Curious about what curious poses I could strike with a baby boar and a scientist accidentally caught in my sled as we collide with a collider. I mean, I said, geez, I've dreamed about colliding with a collider. The problem is they really, as I found through my digging, they really reinforce the collision side of the collider walls. So I've had an inability, you know, to work up this speed and to do a surprise crash into a collider on the collision side. I can go with the collision as we did with the sled. I mean, I got off a sled. It was just a boar and the scientist, you know, this experiment. I'm the conductor. But one day I'll collide with colliders. I mean, I've collided with collider scientists in, you know, collider countries. And, you know, mostly that hasn't gone so great for me. And he said, Newton, the last thing they said to me was, Newton would not like you. And I said, Huey P. Newton? And then they said, get out, you know, don't come back. And I said, Edgar Newton, Fig Newton. And they said, can you actually come up with some Newton jokes before you start cracking them? And I said, well, I'm not, I don't, that's not my style of humor. Mine is, my humor is a wondering humor. You wonder, is he being humorous or just being himself? It's stealth, you know. You know, I like to make jokes about Edward, you know, actually it's not even a joke. I say, you know, me and Eddie Snowden, that's a joke right there. So that's it for the podcast description. You know, I was born to bore, but I was also born to tell a tale about a bore, a person that became, you know, bore that was born a bore. And that's the kind of, you say, geez, well, that's kind of like a bedtime. It's like a Lola, a nursery, nursery room, but in story form. And you say, yeah, it's not a nursery rhyme for sure. Though occasionally Scooter does like to rhyme, but it's more like a nursery room. Like, it surrounds you with tones, meanders, wings of pointlessness, goofing around. And he's like more like a nursery roommate. And I'd say, there you go, you nailed it there. Good job, Borling. Yeah, I'm like a nursery roommate. And he say, Jesus, what is that? He say, you'll figure it out. If you listen to this podcast a few times, you'll figure it out. I'm your new nursery roommate. Like nursery rhyme light, you know, like, you know, say, you got it. You understand. And if this first few times here and you don't understand, if your brain has not started, like if you're, like, let's take a breath. Or two breaths, actually, there. And let's see, you know, if you're not, you know, if you're mildly irritated, you know, listen a few more times and see if, you know, I can win you over. If you're more than mildly irritated, I'm sorry. I was trying to put you to sleep, but, you know. But I'm glad you're here, and that's what I want to do is help you fall asleep. And thanks for stopping by. All right, housekeeping. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can find older episodes there. You can comment on the website. You can email me feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can get me on Twitter at Dear Scooter, on Facebook at sleepwithmepodcast. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson that does our music. He's over at soundslikeanearful.com. He edits some of our episodes as well. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I want to thank, we have a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. And I want to thank Alexandra, Laura, Julie C., Jennifer B., Rachel L. to the G., and Y to Y, who moderate and moderate over there. I want to thank Latitude, who started our subreddit. And then I want to say, you know, one listener initiative, be like Babs. I want to say this week, be like Lorraine. Larray R., who introduced Janelle to the podcast, or Janelle, as I said, and as I'll say, oh, that'll be in the thank yous, Janelle and Larray, thank you, wah-wah-woo. Larray let Janelle know about the podcast, and now we got it, one listener initiative, that's all we need. Thank you so much. I want to thank Lisa Kays, who's, we're having a little talk. Lisa is a social worker and an improviser in Washington. And she has a blog that explores the relationship between mental health, healthy relationships, and improvisation. There I go. I got it on the last try, because it was the last try, because I got it. And we're working together so Lisa can say, hey, what the heck's going on with this podcast? So thank you, Lisa, for your interest. Check out her blog. It'll be in the show notes. I want to thank Melissa D., who wrote a nice article about the podcast over at Science of Us. And I want to thank, and I had a nice interview we did a little while ago. And then I want to thank Emma C. over at Bustle, who wrote about the podcast. Thank you so much. And then I'd just like to ask you guys, this is, we'll be talking about this more, but I want to think about, you guys to think about, I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to say, can I trust Scooter? And I'll talk more about it, but, you know, I'm trying to, as I work the podcast, I want you guys to all know I'm taking all the feedback I get, whether it's anonymous or non-anonymous. And I always factor that into trying to make the most balanced show I can between all episodes. So I know not every episode is going to work for everybody, but I try to have a balance. I try to make sure everybody that lets me know about stuff I want you to feel heard because I do hear you. And I want, you know, I want to start talking about it, open this dialogue up because, you know, there are going to be changes as we try to make this podcast sustainable. But no, when I'm making these choices, it's like, okay, is this going to help us keep making the podcast that puts you to sleep? Like, if we're going to make 1,000 episodes of this podcast, how are we going to do that? And so I'm not asking you to trust me unconditionally or even to trust me to say, hey, can I trust Scooter? I think that's like the opening of the door. And also know that I really don't know what I'm doing. I mean, be straight with you. I'm doing my best. And a lot of this stuff with the podcast, I found it becomes is counterintuitive stuff. So I am finding my way in the deep, dark night a little bit. I say, oh, well, I don't know. I say, geez, that worked, but it went counterintuitive because I'm a bit of a, you know, I have about 1 billion brain bots in my brain. I even have brain bots, you know, in my, you know, this brain stem. And they said, oh boy, we didn't know, you know, the Swedes and the Norwegians said, we didn't know you could have brain bots down there. And I said, have you guys seen my lymph system? It's crawling with brain bots. And they said, well, we don't have the technology for that yet. And I said, you don't need it. I'm a living specimen. So that's it. I want you all to feel heard, okay? That's really important to me. And so, but it's also important for me to ask for your trust, okay? So thank you so much, and let's get on to the show.
All right, so we're doing metastasis run-through number one. It opens with the bus at a gas station. It's a squeaky, squeaky bus. You know, it's the bus, the Escolar, the school bus. I noticed it was a full-serve gas station. I don't know if all gas stations in Colombia are first-serve, but full-serve. But it makes sense. I mean, if I was driving a bus, I'm surprised Jose, Miguel, or Jesse could park one of those things. Actually, at one point, I was asked if I would want to drive the bookmobile because I was trying to get a full-time job. I had a part-time job. And they said, well, geez, why wouldn't we could make you full-time if you drive the bookmobile. And I just laughed in the person's face, literally. And they said, I'm not emotionally equipped to drive a bookmobile. And not even close. I would have, you know, there's no amount of training. You know, once again, they'd have to send me to Sweden in some sort of barometric chamber. You know, just for the emotional, train me for the emotional rigors for the bookmobile training. And the bookmobile testing. And then my first run on the bookmobile, I might physically go out and physically come back, you know, but there'd be a part of me at the first left-hand turn, the first right-hand turn, the first scrape against something, which would be inevitable, the first encounter where my, you know, internal anger was set off. And then pair, you know, I should have just stuck with the beginning. I'm not equipped emotionally to drive a bookmobile. But our friend Jose Miguel is, and then so it's a service station. Then after he gets the gas, he pays for it. It seemed like he goes in to get the store. And it's a store, and it's got like a food counter. Jose's all smiles to the young woman working there. But he's got no money, and he busts out the charm. And he almost gives up tattoo. I don't know what that means. Oh, no, he almost gives up, but he just keeps going. Then there's some, they talk music about Maximo, I think is the band. Then he's like, hey, what about this methamphetamine I have? You know, what about trading that for a little gas and food or whatever? And he's still charming, selling the meth. Cop comes in, you know, for gas and coffee or whatever, but Jose's not deterred. And he says, hey, you know, and she says, okay, let's do it. And she seemed to be enamored with Jose's charm. You know, to be honest, his good looks and his boyish charm, I would say. Aaron Paul, his middle name, Aaron Boyish Charm Paul, I think. At one point, you know, now it might be, you know, maybe he's more manly charm. Aaron Charm Paul, I think, probably now. But as he played Jesse, you know, he's a human. You know, Jesse Pinkman's a character. But I'm saying when Aaron Paul, I guess I'm over-explaining myself, but when Aaron Paul was playing Jesse Pinkman, his middle name was, and they say, okay, Scoots, just move. Okay, I'll move on, because that's the opening. And we're at Saul's 50-50 is the episode title. We have a guy in a neck brace there, and Saul's all hands on, testing the neck brace, taking it off. I noticed his office, I mean, I noticed it before, but I didn't think to write it down. It's blue skies and clouds versus Saul. Goodman has the Constitution. Then Mike rolls in, and they're like, hey, is this a problem? And Mike busts out a tape, and Walt and Cielo, they seem to be arguing. And they can't believe the stuff Cielo's saying. Ernesto. And then Walt says something, and it's Malo. And they say, and then we see a taxi with Walt arriving at work. Oh, at Cielo's work, at Silva Construction. And Walt checks in. She's like, the receptionist is like, you're going to have to wait a while for Ernesto. But then Ernesto, he really doesn't have, whatever office he was using didn't have, he doesn't have a lot of boundaries, because he tries to hide in the office right in Walt's view. Which, I mean, if I want to work in a, you know, workplace, I want to be able to, you know, have some privacy. But, you know, if I was ever the boss, I'd say, no one can ever see me. And but that already happened. I'm the boss of nothing. So they say, geez, well, you're kind of the boss of the podcast now. Yeah, but I don't have an office. So they say, okay, let's move on too. But Ernesto tries to run and hide. Walt yells, you know, open the door. La Puerta, I think, maybe. He starts yelling. Cielo shows up. Walt tries to throw a plant through the door, but that doesn't work. And Walt gets tossed outside. Mike shows up. He says, hey, Walt, why don't you come with me for a little ride back to Saul's? And then Saul's like, Walt, what are you doing, man? And then Mike reads a magazine. He's just sitting there. But Mike's making noises while Walt goes off in the background. Little running, you know, verbal, what do you call that, auditory something. He's making noises, I guess that was it. And Saul yells, and then Walt stares at Mike, and he's like, how'd you know? And then Walt yells something to Mike. Saul, you know, and then Saul, then Walt goes after Saul. He's like, he's like really losing his cool. And then Mike says, Walt, you're out of this office. And Walt's just inconsolable. I don't know. He's not uncontrollable because Mike controls him. He's not inconsolable. But somewhere in between there, you know, a word I don't know. I just looked up some words for debate in thesaurus. But not for this podcast, just for a tweet I was sending to somebody that I thought, I said, I want to impress them. But that was after. I said, I wish I would have had a thesaurus to remember. And they say, well, geez, you got Google. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about Google. And then next thing we know, Mike's at Walt. He's taking out all his equipment, his listening equipment. Mike's talking to Walt about an offer. Walt's asking Mike questions. I think Mike says, I'm just doing my job, man. And then Mike, before he leaves, he looks around his car at Walt's neighborhood, and he seems like he warns Walt, and then there's a mark in Walt's pavement. The next image we see is a dripping faucet in a classroom, and Walt's just staring. Kids are talking, and Walt's just totally out of it. He's in a haze. And Carmen rolls in. And she sees Walt's totally, you know, like just in some sort of dreamlike state almost. After that, we see Henry's packing a bag. He's got a really nice black shirt on, really sharp, with like a, not white snowflakes, but that was the best way I could describe it. Some white image that's not snowflakes. And Maria seems worried. Then Jefe calls his boss. They found blue meth somewhere nearby. So Henry rolls out. Then we have Walt and Carmen. They're meeting. Carmen's talking to Walt about what's going on. But Walt becomes obsessed with his dog picture. Martin is Carmen's dog's name. And then Walt just walks behind Carmen's desk, but she's still trying to manage. You know, she has some respect for Walt for a few more minutes. And he says, Etchies, I got to get a look at this dog, this Martine. And she says, hey, why don't you sit down? We're trying to talk here, you know. And then he sits on her desk, and he gets all flirty, pushes the hair out of her eyes. Already crosses the line, so he gets fired. And it just so happens that Jose Miguel's out front, right in the, I said, that's in the nick of time. He says, ¿Qué tal? Walt puts the stuff on the roof. He gets in the car. And Jose's asking about the big money deal. And Walt says, no way, man. And Jose says, why? And Walt says some stuff. So Jose says, hey, let me show you this blue mess I made. And that creates a whole argument. Walt's all bent out of shape. And he says that, well, Jose's products, you know, no good. So Walt gets out of the car. And then Jose's mad, Walt's mad. So Jose's like, I'm just driving off. And the box of Walt's, a stereotypical box of Walt's stuff falls off. Then we return to Silva Construction. Silva. Is it Silva or Silva? I don't know, but it was good. I wish I had an expert here. We just are two, you know. Not Mierdas. Are we Mierdas? Bobotas. We're a couple of Bobotas. Me and Scoots, or Scoot, me and Drew, me and Andy. But in the office, yells kind of the object of the gossip mill, cold shoulder. But after that, she goes, her and Ernesto, you know, it looks like a late afternoon delight, early evening delight they had. And they're in bed, they're getting dressed, or Cielo is, and they both seem pleased, like very delighted. And they kind of flirt, they talk about the future a little bit, it seemed like. And up next is Henry and Gomez, and they're with this kind of tweaked out guy they arrested, totally out of it, this guy is. And Henry and Gomez, you know, try to get something out of him. And then they don't, or they do. And then Henry and Gomez are, Henry seems very on this Heisenberg white whale kick. And Gomez is like, I think this is your white whale. And he says, I need Destigo, not Ishmael. And then Gomez says, that's not a very good, I mean, he says, Destigo is my favorite too, but, you know, it doesn't fit. I'm neither. And Gomez says, if anything, I'm the man warning Ishmael before he boarded the boat. But he goes, that's the wrong time in this story. Then we have a baby's room. Walt's in bed on the baby's room floor. He's looking glum. What is it? I'm surprised I came up with that word, glum. That's a perfect word for that. I mean, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. And then Saul's on the phone. A lot of times you see Saul Bueno. He likes to use a magnifying glass, which could become a whole, you know, it wouldn't be good fan fiction. It might not even be boring. I guess more, not fan fiction, speculation, but not speculative fiction. I'd just be like, well, what's he looking at with that? Is he comforted by close-ups of stuff? Is he looking for insects? You know, who knows, but he uses the magnifying glass a lot. Maybe it just helps him think, you know. Or, and this is not a pun, it helps him focus. You believe that? That's funny. And I didn't even mean it as a pun, I swear. But maybe it does. He's talking on the phone. He says, well, if I use this, if I focus on this texture as wallpaper, I'm listening better. That's another book. If a lawyer, my lawyer's listening to this, he, I don't know. I don't have a title yet, lawyer, but, you know, the focus method, that's no good. The looking glass, is that a looking glass or no? You know, put that in our paradavid or whatever, paralegal thing. And then the looking glass method, looking glass focus, I'll figure out a book for it. We'll sell it as an e-book, you know. You know, that's what these, you know, looking glass, focus on the looking glass. Now, I gotta find something more guru-y. Let's see, back to looking glass. So Jose sits like a cat at a canary. He comes into the office. He's so pleased. He drops that giant bag of blue meth on Saul's desk, and he says, hola, 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 or something. I don't know how he said it, but that's what I wrote. Three holas. Gus here parks his car in a parking lot, and Mike parks behind him and gets in Gus's car. He hands him a report on Walt's cancer, it seemed like medical blood, and then Mike rolls out to another assignment. Henry can't get a... Oh, can't get call out at gas station. I don't know what that means. He tries to get a... Henry can't get call out at gas station. I'm pretty sure those are the words in the sentence, but there's no, you know... Even I don't know what it means. Tries to get the worker there to rat on Jose. He really grills her. He tries to get a description. Then he sees the camera. He says, does it work? And I think she said, but at first he says, well, when was he here, I think. And then she says, well, it doesn't work. And then he sees another camera outside that he thinks would work. Not woodworking, you know, wood, W-O-U-L-D, woodwork. Not woodwork. A woodworking camera method. No, it's not a book. And actually, I can't even write a book with my dyslexia, but I can make up book titles, you know, and then lock them down. And then, you know, that'll be the next thing. So what happened to Scoot? He did that sleep podcast. He started doing some weird trademark lawsuits. And then, you know, he was already hermit-like. But then he actually became a hermit. They call him the hermit crab. The kids do. They like to throw tin cans at his house. And he says, and he always has a looking, he has a magnifying glass. He calls it a looking glass. And the kids say, a licking glass. And he said, no, a looking glass, not a lick. But, you know, Scooter mumbles, so it still sounds like a licking glass. And then the kids laugh. And then they say, how's the wood work? It's something. It was sad. We're so sad for Scoots in the future. Back to Metastasis. Walt's at breakfast. He's staring. Cielo's reading the paper. Walt's glaring at her while she reads the paper. It's quiet. Junior's clearly uncomfortable with this tension. Cielo's reading an article. Looks like about soccer or soccer stadium or football. And Junior asks a bunch of questions to Ma and Pa. So he's still trying to, you know, hold this family unit together. After that, we see Jose make the deal. Then we see Henry with his boss. Seems like he's trying to crack the Heisenberg case, but the boss ain't sold on it. But Henry's like, I figured out it's a mobile meth lab, a Bibliotheca Mobilia. That's a bookmobile. It came right back up again. It must have been when I thought of it. And he goes, there's not many of these things in Bogota, boss. And he's really putting a hard sell on his boss, and I think he got him. Walt then is watching some daytime TV with his strange Hummel figurine that's in the scene with him. I mean, shares the frame with him, like wrapped around a lamppost. Almost looks like he's, you know, doing something to the lamppost. I'm like, man, what's going on? But his thighs are wrapped around the lamppost. And they say that's what Scooter saw, you know, kids. Remember, that's just what Uncle Scooter saw. That's not really. It's just a nice Hummel figurine. And they say, well, it's actually a Hamill figurine, you know. But for a while, Mark Hamill started making his own figurines. But they're, you know, they're a little bit, you know, anti-establishment. And they said, I don't know what he calls that Hamill figurine, but yeah, Walter Blanco collects Hamill figurines. But Walt sees some TV reports, he has a little flashback, and then he says, I got to go outside and get some air. And then the dude that works for Goose rolls up with a bag of money and just throws it to Walt. And that's the end of the episode. So there we are. Metastasis Run Through 1, thank you. All right, so we're talking about Breaking Bad now. It's season 3, episode 4, Green Light, which I didn't realize that was the episode title for some reason when I was watching it. And actually, we have a unique way of doing the notes tonight, so there might be a little extra noise in the background because so last weekend, when you're hearing this, it'll be a while past, but last weekend was a weekend we did, on Sunday we did a live stream to show solidarity and to attempt to empower people, especially people suffering in Paris and Beirut. But because of the planning of that, my watching schedule was off. So some of this is done on a little notepad because I watched some of it in a cafe late Saturday evening when I was on my way to do something else with someone that was in from out of town visiting my brother. So it'll be a little different for you. It might not be any different, but episode opens at the Big Chief gas station. There's a Dr. Pepper sign. There's sneakers on a red pole. There's a cool cigarette sign, ATM, a giant Native American head. And then Jesse rolls in. He's all pleased, very happy. He gets gas at total $79.70. And then he says, come back later, Sarah. Oh, because he goes, oh, I don't have any money. And there's this person says, oh, well, we have an ATM. He goes, oh, no. And she goes, well, you could do a personal check. He goes, I'm in between banks right now. And he goes, can I come back later? I'm good for it. And that's when the stare comes in. But then Jesse seems to be embracing his bad guy, persona, because he gets real smooth. And the worker seems like maybe she has a little crush on Jesse. She's like, you know, if it was my thing, I'd let you do it. But my dad, he's really an ex-military. He checks everything for the store always. And she's like, so I got to call him. You know, sorry about that. And then Jesse's like, hey, what if we trade? And she kind of smacks her lips. She definitely sees it. And he's like, I got this, you know, blue stuff. And he really starts to close the deal. He says, you know, this is like, she's like, what's it like? He's like, it's awesome. Maximum interesting. He goes, like, action feelings. And just like, it's tight, man. You got to try it. And the police even come in. They're the state police. But Jesse makes the deal. And then we have a picture of Saul's roof with Liberty. She's looking pretty sad, Lady Liberty, on Saul's roof. And he's interviewing his client and his mother. He's got a box of neck braces. He's like, you know, let's lose the fact, you know, Antonio, you're going to be discomforting. Because he's trying on neck braces. He's like, I can't breathe with this neck brace on. He's like, well, you need your breathing. And then he finds one that fits. And he's like, tell us, mom. He's like, okay, give me, you know, cashier's check. And then spread the word. I'm doing class action. You know, find some more people. You know, even if he says anxiety, sleeplessness, I'm like, Saul, man, we should get into business. And then Mike comes in, and Saul's like, is it trouble? And then we hear Saul, Mike busts out the recordings of Walt and Skyler. And I didn't realize that I'd been calling Ted Bernanke, like to Ben Bernanke. So that's been a minute. You know, I think, I don't know if I've been calling which one actually, but pretty sure I got it wrong. Let's just say totally planned out, you know, as a to try to subsume the military industrial complex, you know, mispronunciations. But Wolf's like, Ted Bernanke, you can't be kidding me. He's a joke. And Skyler's like, no. And he's like, oh, yeah, you called my bluff. And Skyler's like, you know, I don't want a relationship with you, Walt, more or less. He's like, I'm not cooking meth anymore, Skyler. He goes, I did everything I could for this family. And she goes, fine, just keep telling yourself that if you want to make it better. And she goes, and you can keep your money. And then there's your garbage disposal. So I was like, what is that noise? And Mike's like, it's just a garbage disposal. And Walt's like, you think this is going to get me out of the house? He goes, go ahead with Ted. He goes, butcher, mailman, whatever. And Skyler's like, dude, you are alone. And Walt's like, I'm not going anywhere. And Skyler's like, that's fine. And then Saul's like, is this a bad thing or a good thing? And Mike's like, wait 1 second. And I noticed Mike was breathing through his nose. He's like, wait, wait, wait. And then I think Walt says, like, he's going to go down there and talk to Ted or something. And the next thing, you know, Walt's in the reception room. And he's like, Walt for Ted Burnett Beneke. And there's a sly smile from a receptionist, like she knows what's going on. And then Walt spots Ted hiding out. And Walt is much more silly nutty in this scene than in Metastasis. Because Walt's like willing to wake it out, and then he sees Ted. And he's like, Ted, I can see you in your office. Like Ted's trying to hide behind a plan almost. And he goes, come on, open the door, let's talk. And Ted's like, oh, hey, Walt, I didn't see you there. I'm kind of busy. He goes, oh, yeah, you are. He goes, open the door. And he goes, just open the door, let's talk about it. And then Ted's like, I'm not open, you know. And then Walt can barely lift this plant. He tries to, like, lift the plant. And then Skyler shows up. Walt has this unbelievable look as he's talking to Ted. Let me see, what did he say? Oh, Skyler's like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm talking to Ted. And then he's like, yeah, come on. And then Ted gets thrown out. And then Walt gets thrown out. Such a failure. But I noticed, I was like, oh, as Walt gets thrown out, I'm like, oh, we love Walt again. Or I did. It's like the way this show goes, and especially rewatching it in the way, the manner I'm doing it, I guess I'm more critical of Walt than I normally would be and the first or second time watching the show. But between this and the stuff at work, it's like, okay, now I'm back on Walt, on Team Walt. I mean, partially, you know, partially. So it's like, wow, how? I mean, I don't know, and I hate, again, I know I get in these fanboy things. I don't know if it's a fanboy, it's an appreciation. Because the degree of difficulty to do stuff like this with, you know, all the collaboration that goes into making a show and all the different things that could be messed up, it's just unbelievable to be able to do stuff like this, have this character act this way, and then have our feelings, or have my, I mean, I guess I'm just using projection, like my feelings change back and forth about Walt. But he's tossed out. He's like, oh, I'm calm. And then Mike just flies up in his car. He gets Walt in there. And then he's back at Saul's office. And Saul's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Actually, this never happened before. He goes, it's a cruel world, Walt. And he goes, you need to grow up. And Walt's like, I just wanted to talk to him. And Mike's sitting there in the background. Looks like he's doing a crossword. And every once in a while during the dialogue, Walt looks back there. And then Walt's, they're going back and forth. Walt's like, well, how'd you know about what was going on and where to find me? And Saul's like, well, I'm just meticulous. And then they put gloves, glares, oh, Walt glares. He's like, did you bug my house? And so I was like, well, basically, you told me to. You know, I thought you moved out. And he's like, I told you. So I was like, well, you strongly hinted I should. And Walt's like, no, 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 no. And Salt's like, he's spinning around. He's like, no, no, we did our due diligence and kept quiet. And he's like, Walt, she stood by you. Why don't you see the ironical silver lining here? And he's like, you know, whatever she did. And then Walt, like, kind of, he's like, And then Mike has to escort Walt out. And Saul's like, you're fired. Or Walt says, you're fired. You're done. Whatever. And then Saul says, oh, boo-hoo, I won't cook mess anymore. And then he's like, I'm unplugging the website. No more money for you, Wool. And Wool's like, well, I want those bugs out. And then Saul's like, Saul. He's like, you ruined a $300 suit, buddy. You just bought that. And then Walt is just, and then we like Walt, and then he takes gall with Mike. He's alone with Mike, and he's berating Mike. And Mike's like, yeah, these things cost a lot of money. He goes, I wasn't listening. He goes, you're boring, dude. And then Walt's like, great work, great job, by the way. You're really an upstanding guy. Mike's like, well, I enjoy it. And then Walt's like, well, you could leave now. And Mike goes, get in his car. He looks around. He goes, you know, Walter, again, I love it when Mike says Walter, how he says it. You know, Walter, sometimes it doesn't hurt to have someone watching your back. And then we see there's kind of chalk marking Walt's address. And then the next thing we see is Walt's clock's ticking. It's between 7 and 8. I think the minute hand is. I thought I wrote down the time better. Maybe I'm going to switch notebooks here in a second. We see a lab faucet drip, drip, dripping. And they're beautiful sounds, the clock ticking, the water dripping. The students just stare at Walt. Walt's totally drifted off. And the students have this what-the-heck look on the face. Okay, I switched notebooks. So in the classroom, it's 11:25. Walt's sitting and looking at nothing. Turning heads, I don't know what that means. And then a student comes back. She must have gone to get the principal. Then Carmen comes in. She's like, Mr. White? And then he says, hi. He says in a real high voice, what's up? And he has a world's greatest teacher mug, Walt. And then they go down to her office, and she's trying to talk to Walt about the seriousness of him being, she's concerned. As I said, Carmen's a wonderful principal. And she's actually trying to get Walt's back. She's, like, trying to understand what's happening with Walt, but trying to meet the balances of the students and the teachers. And Walt's, like, looking at this picture. He goes, is that a Wheaton Terrier? And she goes, it's a Norfolk. And so then they start talking terriers. It's like a good podcast. And also, Carmen had a ribbon, Walt no ribbon. And at some point, it switches to this handheld camera. It's moving a little bit. And she's like, you know, can you sit down and talk? You've been absent, and you've been acting weird. I'm concerned. And she's like, should I call Skylar? Walt's like, oh, no. And then Walt, like, pushes her hair back, and he tries to, like, he does this whisper on her. And then he tries to kiss her, or almost like, oh, he does a fake whisper, like, hey, I'm going to tell you a secret. And then he tries to kiss her, and Carmen's like, this is so unprofessional. And you can tell she's a combination of pissed and hurt and something more, because she's like, you know, I'm trying to help this guy. And it's just, well, it's just strange, behaves strangely and inappropriately. After that, we see the airport. We see a Wayfarer airplane. We see Marie and Hank, or a Wayfarer Air sign, and they're in the car. They're talking about how Hank's talking about how Super El Paso is promotions like being in the Super Bowl. Marie is in purple. She doesn't say much. Then Hank gets a call about a Blue Azul. Do you think that was after he got a car? Then he gets in a cab. And then we have a great, great scene. Walt's fired. There's bird sounds. A lot of bird sounds in Breaking Bad. I've been becoming more aware of those. And Walt walks out with his fired box, and Jesse's out there. He honks, and he gives a two-finger wave, and Walt, like, lugs the box over. He can barely carry this box. And I noticed the school's pretty good because they had a science building. And Jesse's like, did you get fired, dude? He's like, no, sabbatical, indefinite sabbatical. And he's like, should we go somewhere? Walt's like, no, no. And Jesse's like, can you introduce me to that guy? And Walt's like, what guy? The distribution guy. And Walt's like, no, 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 Jesse, you got to take care of yourself. And Jesse's like, no. He goes, I'm only good at one thing. He goes, no, that's not true. You're good at being sober. And Jesse's like, I'm not going to use again, so I just want to get back in the business. And he goes, I don't need your help. I want to do it on my own. And he's like, look, and he goes, Jesse was so proud of himself and how he did it with reflux condensers, pH levels, you know, being careful, just like you told me, Dad. I mean, he doesn't say Dad, but he said, just like you taught me. And he goes, what do you think? Isn't it good? Didn't I do a good job? And Walt goes, what in the heck? He goes, this is my product, my formula. He goes, this is mine. And Jesse goes, it's ours, A. And B, I was going to cut you in. And Walt's like, no, 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 I cut you in. And Jesse's like, what are you doing, man? I thought you were out. I'm just asking for a favor. And he's like, no, I'm not going to lend my name to an inferior product. Look at these diameters. He goes, what did you use, platinum dioxide? And Jesse's like, no, mercury something. Aluminum amalgam. He goes, because the dioxide's in it. And he goes, well, you screwed it up anyway. I don't know how you did it. This is very shoddy work, Pinkman. And it's cloudy. I'm embarrassed for you. And Jesse's like, whoa, no, no. I've tested it. People said it's a bomb. And Walt's like, yeah, a bunch of losers like you. And Jesse goes, fine, asswad. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it does. And Walt had gotten in the car at some point and put his box on the roof. And Walt's like, good luck, man. Jesse's like, I'm going to deal with it myself. Walt's like, good man, he doesn't deal with junkies like you. And Jesse goes, you know what, eat me. And Walt goes, anytime, loser. And then he drives off. Walt's box falls. And I mean, as Walt picks up the bicycle, but she's like, it's tough to feel for him, but then you kind of do a little bit. A couple other moments was when Jesse was proud. Walt goes, what the hell is this? He shakes it in his face. And I loved how he said Pinkman. And also how Walt said, oh, they said it was the bomb. That was really funny. And then I say, I can't read this, C-A-P-I-E-R, that's not a word, but, oh, copier light, that is a word. And Skylar, she's got closed eyes, she's shaking her head. And then we see some workplace tension, then we have Ted and Skylar, post-lovemaking, and Ted's all jokes, it's 6:42 p.m., and then Ted starts asking way too much probing questions. And then Hank and Muscle, what does that mean? A double question mark. I don't know what that means, but they're in a, I don't know. The guy's name was Russell, though, I think. But the dude's breathing a lot. He's thinking hard. He's like, I'm thinking Mel, man. Dude's name was Mel. And it's like Hank and Gomez. And they're grilling him, and then they get, it's either Mel or it's an M name. That's all the guy can give him. And then there's a moment where Gomez tries to reach out to Hank because Hank's like, this is a lead. And he's like, a lead to what, man? He goes, I think you need to slow down. And he's trying to be a friend, but Hank's not having it. Then we have Saul on the phone chasing clients down. Jesse comes in, or maybe he calls. I can't remember. I didn't write it down. But he's like, I told you to get this guy cooking again. It's too late. He goes, your partner's in, he gave me a bone contusion. And then Jesse pulls out the mask and he's like, what the heck? And Jesse's like, I made this. And he goes, can't you get a hold of the guy? And then we have Gus and Mike. Gus changes his glasses, I know, to notice for the weekend they're meeting. Mike offers his opinion on Mike. He's like, this guy's gone over the rail. This guy's a disaster. He's not coming back. Not on his own. And he goes, your friends are looking for him still. And Gus is like, does the lawyer know anything about this? He's like, no. He goes, why don't you tell this guy? And Gus says, I do not find fear to be an effective motivator. I want investment. And then they look at Walt's medical records to find out. He's like, he's going to be around for a little while. And then Mike tells Gus, he's like, the Pinkman kid's selling some mess. And he goes, well, I don't work with junkies. He goes, I thought that's what you'd say. He goes, him and Walter split up. And then Gus is like, really? And he goes, yeah, they're like cats and dogs. And he goes, okay, do the deal then. Then we have, oh, wait, what else? I put Gus's, oh, Gus's next move, that's his next move on the wall. Gus has got a Volvo. And then we have Hank on the road. His phone's ringing. He's ignoring it. He's going through a list of M names. The voicemail is his boss, like saying, call me back right away. Then he has like the gas station showdown with the worker trying to trick her. And she's like, he's like, what did she look like? She goes, he had really blue eyes. And she goes, really blue. And he goes, oh, okay, he was dreamy. I got it. And he goes, anything else? And then Hank, he's like, does this camera work? She's like, no. And then he goes out and he sees the ATM camera. He's like, bingo, I got to move now. And then Walt, we have Walt at breakfast. He's staring at his breakfast cereal. There's more bird sounds. Skylar's reading the paper. Junior's really trying hard to make a conversation. He goes, these eggs are great. And he goes, it's weird. There's no money coming in Dad's website. And Hank, Walt's like, well, people lose interest, passive aggressive. And then he's like, hey, can I get a ride? Lewis has a doctor's appointment. So I know everybody, let's keep it, you know, we don't need to be worried for Lewis because this is fictional. You know, probably just some sort of, you know, teenage checkup. But Walt Jr. is like, Dad could babysit, you know, and watch Ollie. And Skylar's like, oh boy, and probably not, no. And then we have Jesse making his deal, but it's short money. He's like, hey, there's only half the money in here. He's yelling. Then we have Hank in meeting with his boss, and he's nervous, but Hank's like, no, 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 I'm on the case. There's only 29 of these RVs in the state. And the boss is like, before he's like, Agent Schrader, he goes, are you going, all I want to know is are you going to follow orders and go to El Paso? They need you in El Paso. Are you going to El Paso tonight? And Hank shakes his head, he goes, no, I can't. His boss just stares and blinks, and he goes, you better get to it then. So, you know, a little bit of an uncomfortable moment. Then we have Walt in the car. He's listening to the radio. The music is In the Valley of the Sun. And then this guy whistles, pulls up next to him, whistles. He throws Walt a bag. He goes, there's your half. It's a Los Pollos bag. And then he drives off, and we notice Walt's at a green stoplight. So I did figure out why the episode was called that. And then somebody honks and says, you move it. And that's the end of the episode. All right, so we have our language learning run through and our red pen run through, which have been combined. I'm going to go through our page here. First page. Saul says, swell. Tatello at some point. We'll get to what that means. I'm just looking for any non-Spanish notes. 50-50 is what the episode is called in Metastasis. And it's Escolar, that means school. Quarantamil, 40,000. Oh, here's sin efectivo, cashless. That is definitely a new word. It should be cashless, sin efectivo. And if you see a sign that says solo en efectivo, Devo, cash only. So, you know, we see those signs. Those signs are more rare. But you do have to pay stuff. So solo en efectivo. Como a media, only half. But hey, yo te creo, I believe you. Jump in line, rock the body on time. Okay. Yo te creo, I believe you. Did you just say Tan Linda 2? That I'm so cute when I do that fake song. Tan Linda 2, you're so cute. Well, te mete se man fumas herbia. Put your man smoking herb. De Haria said it. No, that's what I said. Fumo aspiria. Smoke something. But how about this? It's a long one, but es como difícil de poner. It is as difficult to put en palabras en como, in words, is it as en palabras es como, in all of something. I got mixed up there. It is as difficult to put into words as everything is for me to do. Babadoo. And you'd see, you might say, geez, Scooter, what is this, episode 24, Sete Agudaisen? Agudaisen? Are you sharpening your Spanish skills? Well, I think I just answered that question. Mucho mejor. They may be better than before. They may be worse. And some of my people say, picar el cuello. You know, you always chop the neck off of words, proverbially. You can't even in English you do that. And I would say to you, cuando no te de la, when are you not in the, you know, making mistake zone or something? You know, apretado, it's tight in here in this closet where I do the podcast. And cutar en público, I could remove it in public, but, you know, then they'd say, keep your shirt on, sir. That's what they say when I try to take my shirt off. And I say, don't make me get físico with you, you know, and do my let's get physical dance off without, you know, when they say no shirt, no service. And I say, well, I'll just move to the Bay Area where you can't really take your shirt off because it's never that hot. And that solved that problem, the old cutar en público problem. Now I just got a problem with keeping my fly up, which that's, you know. And they might say, son de hampa, they are underworld. And I would say, is that like a short XYZ, pull up your fly? Retro para, challenge me to check my fly every morning. And I would say, me toca, it's my turn. Aguatarme, to put up with sucia, your dirty looks, sucia looks. I don't know what looks is. I should. Let's go through the next page to see if there's anything. Oh, the taxi's license plate, BB1223. And that's the only non-English one on that page. So let's go back to our Spanish. At Charme, I was lingering there. Falta, but we weren't missing anything. Así que damos. So we were going to the next page. Yolo a sparrow. I do hope demora my delay in getting to a point, you know, helps you sleep. Que hago, that's what I do. Que hago. He esta, there it is, the secret to the podcast. And we say, can you repeat it again, Scoots? Because I'm trying to steal your podcast idea and get rich on it. What's your secret? I'd say media el hago, average to something. That's, you know, that's my secret. And you say, what? I said, what's the secret to you? Yeah, media el hago. You got to make a podcast that's average to something. You know, I was giving you the answer, por que usted lo ha pedido, because you asked. And I'd say, calmate, calm down. That's the, you know, quítate, take off. Let's go somewhere other than the Bay Area. Let's take off our shirts. You know, let's say, que la abra, with the open. Let our chests be open. Men, women, you know, let's live. And I say, are you becoming a nudist, Scooter? No, just a topless. Nude topless is probably not. It just, for me, I find shirts constraining. I don't know what to tell you. Suelta me, you know, but can you let that go? Because that wasn't funny. It was true. You know, I am weird. And you probably, you know, anybody observing this, taking notes, would say, esa no es la actitud de un hombre racional. You know, this is not the attitude of an rational man. Now it's a bingo. One thing, though, estoy calmado, I am calm. Contigo, with you. Now, don't say that as a sign of madurez, maturity. Digo, I say, portase, I behave as, you know, calmado as I can. For hombres or mujeres, for men or women. Kello. That is not what I thought that word meant, that akello, that. I would not think that would be akello. And you might say, calladita? Are you being coy with me, Scooter? Calladita? And I would say, I'm sorry, which part? Pierde, that loses me when you ask me questions. Yeah, akello, Pierde, that loses me. And you might say I'm a pedazo mierda, a piece of something. And I would say, gusta a ese idiota. Are you going to say that? Espera, wait. I thought we were practicing kindness here. Pues, puesto, why don't you post that on Facebook? Because I'm about to do something. What are you about to do, Scooter? Le voy a hacer dos observaciones. I'm going to make two remarks. Uno, a veces es bueno tener a alguien. Sometimes it's good to have someone. And this part might get confusing, but que nos quide la espalda que dejar de mirarse tanto. Look after us back to stop looking so. You know how they say that? Look after us back to stop looking so. I think Shakespeare once said that. I think it was Gonzalo saying it to somebody else. And I think the answer was, o ombligo y estar atento a lo que. Belly button and be aware of it. Navel and be aware of it. El ombligo y estar atento a lo que. It might be navel gazing, it may not be. But pasa alrededor. It's getting passed around, those sayings. But primero lo primero, first things first. You know, es un bulldog francés. It's like a French bulldog. Cierto, true. Es no es Boston Terrier. But you'd say, en serio, really? And I would say, ¿qué tal? How are you doing? What's up? Temporal is temporary. Et charom, what they cast, these fishermen. De igual, does not matter. And you'd say, ¿cuál man? That man? He's a fisherman. And I would say, he eats so much fish, he's so más sano, more healthy than us. Conmigo, come with me, conmigo. Ese dato solo, that fact alone, that you're willing to eat and fish with me, makes you no degenerado, not a degenerate. Impide, it prevents me from doing Marta Locos, crazy combines. And odia más, don't hate anymore. Do not odia más. Because respuesta, the answer, is mismos, the same. We're only human. May boy, I'm going to try not to crack up at this. Because the next thing says, bigote cerbero, you have a mustache brain. Which is definitely the word of the decade, bigote cerbero. You got a mustache brain. And the man once said, y acorde a apelito ir pirate K. When he was saying, I think that guy's name was Pirate K. P-I-R-A-T-E-Q-U-E. That was his name? Yeah, Pirate K. This really happened. I'm not Hagali. I'm not making this up. Dano al dentro, all the damage within the piestas calleta, the cove tracks down at the cove where the fishermen are. You know, volveria loco, we'll all go crazy when the fishing comes in. We'll wear corbatas, we'll wear neckties, para el futuro, futuro. Corbata para el futuro, neckties for the future. We'll figure out a way to, you know, market that. But then we'll say, well, hacha, we'll take the axe to the neckties in symbolism. And maybe we need an abogado, an attorney for that. You know, perros and gatos. We'll have, I don't think we could put corbatas on dogs and cats. And someone said, habia dado, he has given Lindo a cute phrase, no sabia or raro, it's not known or rare, but sirve, it serves. Wait, en donde, where were you in your point? Well, I was just about to say, your los huevos are great, the eggs you make are great. Repente, suddenly, I'm going to change subjects. and say debito, it's due to get to a close here. As the boredom comes through my dientes, my teeth, sumitad, it's more than half done, more than it's half. Conmigos, but we caught the fish with the fishermen. Mobiles, fish are very mobile. Muchos más alta mobile, they're much higher than mobile, they swim. But you could say to the fish, Repuesta directa, I make a direct request. You know, estoy cerca, I'm around to eat the fish, wear neckties, whatever it is. But esta un mitad, which we already said, this one's, this one's over, not half over. So thanks for stopping by, and good night.
Yeah, I want to say thank you and good night to Jennifer for her idea about the kids podcast, Andy Tastic and his family, Rebecca, Brittany, Judy Kay for that info. Thank you. I want to say good night to Melissa D, Emma C. Good night and thank you to Kath and Rudolph with an Oh So Bright. Over on YouTube, say goodnight to Herrera. And then on Twitter, Winnie, goodnight. Brock W, goodnight. Whiting, once again, goodnight. Janelle. As I prefer, how do you feel about Janelle. Lisa, thank you and goodnight. Alexandra, or Alex, cited, good night. Helen Z, a.k.a. Illusionist, good night. Lisa D, good night. Illusionoid, good night, and I'm sorry. Evil O, good night. Willow, good night. Or S-Willow-A. Swillow-A. Paul, thank you for recommending me over there to Winnie and Paul. Recommended me to Allison Rosen, who's our new best friend. She's really great. So that was nice. Jason S., good night. Acoustic Sheep, good night. Zachary, good night. Kelly S., good night. Ingrid, good night. Thank you. Michaela, thank you for that stuff on Marie's Purpleness. Thank you so much. Babs, good night. Ben, good night. Melanie, good to hear you're on the upswing. D, good work taking care of your M. Andy Tastic. It looks like Anderp in your name thing. Benji Box, thank you. Lisa K, thank you. Sammy T, good night. Kelly H, good night. Bryony, good night. Eli, good night. Brandon A, good night. G, good blue t-shirt, I know who you are. Good night. Emily, good night. Thank you, Pan Magazine again. Good night, Lida, good night. Keeney, good night. Mike, good night. Steph Bobby, good night. Stephen S., good night. Anna, good night. And good night, Mary and Amanda and Julie C. Over on Facebook, I want to say good night to Nick and good night to Grant. Again, you know, Grant, I'm pretty sure I know your other name. Thank you, Grant, though. Really touching. Shabby, good night. Or B to the S to the R, good night. Mike D with the super beard, good night. Julie C, good night. Ahab's wife, good night. Julie R, good night. Shannon S, good night. I want to say good night to Rachel M and good night to Megan M. Different M's, but you know they both end in M. Bween, good night. Shelly S., thank you for sharing about the podcast. Marissa O., Claudia GM., thank you. Good night. Brenda, good night. Ted, my brother, good night. Lawrence C., good night. Joel D., good night. Melissa B., good night. Laura M.B., good night. Laura M.B. Lizzie S., good night. Thank you, Lizzie. Ben S., good night. Stephen R., good night. And a few more iTunes reviews. I want to say thank you to Canyon AI, the artificial intelligence that runs your Grand Canyon, who says we're the best podcast. Thank you, Canyon AI. And it keeps getting better. Well, I'm trying everything I can to keep it getting better. Oh boy, I gotta do a zoom on this one. UB, TDFTFFH, UB, Tadufra. They say it totally works, and they're out in 15 minutes. Thank you, Ubi, Ubi, and then Balboa 185 says it's been a long, year-long, one-sided relationship. Podcast is pretty good in its ability to keep a balance on the tightrope of lullabies and verbal lullabies and entertaining stories. Suited for thinking persons with a good sense of humor, can be open to and enjoy content that causes brain giggling during REM. Thanks to everyone involved. Thank you, Balboa 185, for listening for a year. Thank you so much, and good night. Okay, thank yous and good night for iTunes reviews. You can do that at sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. I want to thank Jude NYS, who says meandering and mesmerizing. Love being put to sleep by Scooter, especially Breaking Bad Metastasis. Well, you picked the right night to be thanked. Yeah, Scooter's got an eye for subtle nuances of acting and costuming. And owls and cubbies. Of course, you missed that, but it's fine. Smart and topical. Don't know how Scooter holds down a job. I'd say barely. But very appreciated. Thank you, Jude. Best sleeping ever. This was a funny one. 150 Santos. And they said, my first night sleeping was the best sleep I've had in months. Inspired me to buy a pillow. That makes me wish I had like it was like David Letterman and inspired me to buy a pillow. I love that. So thank you, 150 Santos. WV Ginger, West Virginia, Ginger Mountains, take me home, you root herb roads. I don't know any other herb root, maybe, but anyway, WV Ginger. WV Ginger's got constant ringing in their ears, so they need noise to sleep. And this is a great alternative to TV. Boring and relatable. And their favorite podcast. Thank you. Weird and Wonderful. This is from Mia, Mimi, and Maud. Not Color Me Bad. Belle Biv DeVoe. Was that their first names? Mimi, and Maud. A weird and wonderful, strange amalgam of nonsense and whimsy. I love the word whimsy. I do. And this is a long one. I better read this one. It's really well thought out. OB Nurse NH. So we could figure that out. Best sleep aid ever. Night shift nurse for over 10 years. Pretty good at sleeping day or night, but sometimes, you know, they have to sleep shorter times because of family with children. The side effect is there's times where they don't have to be awake. They have a hard time, you know, if they wake up, they have a hard time going back to sleep. Their body's used to short sleep and thinks awake no matter what. And they recently began listening to podcasts with a... to help with this and some degrees of success. But they realize that the tone and cadence of voice makes a tremendous difference whether or not it helps you fall asleep or wakes them up further. Additionally, they had to run out of episodes of their favorite podcast. But then they searched iTunes for stories, stumbled upon our podcast, and became a fan. And they still have never made it through a whole episode. So Scooter's voice draws you and soothes your mind. Just interesting enough to quiet your mind, but boring enough to let you drift off and fall asleep quickly and easily. Never before have I rated something as boring as a good thing. And they've been telling everyone they know, especially night shift nurse friends, about the podcast and encouraging them. Good stuff, all natural, slightly addictive. Thank you so much. And then we have Sean LVLL. They love the podcast Magic Bullet for falling and staying asleep. And they have trouble waking up in the middle of the night, not being able to fall asleep. So that's a common problem, but they use this podcast on a loop with a small plug-in pillow speaker that fits under the pillow. Thank you. Then we have Mikalas 5. I think was that the only Star Trek to be canceled. Mikalas 5, A Journey. Oh, no, wait, that was fan fiction again. They said Gene Roddenberry came. It was this Halloween. They said he was riding the Great Pumpkin, saying no more fan fiction Scooter. And he said, but what about Space Station Mikalas 5, Gene? And he said, it's Mr. Roddenberry. And they said, should be Mr. Roddenberry attitude. And then the Great Pumpkin drops some, you know, that gook, the pumpkin seeds come in right on my head. And then I said, Roddenberry. Anyway, but Mikalas 5, the person, hardly ever writes reviews, but they felt like they needed to write one for the podcast because they love it. Thank you. They've had trouble falling asleep for years, a late sleeper. Normally my voice would drive them crazy, but at bedtime, they're a believer. And now they fall asleep faster and stay asleep a little longer. And if they wake up, I can lull them back. So thank you, Mikalas 5. And this works according to Zach0816. That's Zach S. And Scooter's helped break another streak of sleepless nights. It usually takes 30 minutes to fall asleep. To my silly meandering enjoyable stories, but this beats the pants off of 2 hours of stress, eating, reading, tea drinking, and other things. Thank you, Zach. I know how you feel.